Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters,
keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. Good afternoon, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And on today's show, we're going to be hearing from John Tupper, who had a chance to travel up north to get a perfect view of the rare solar eclipse that happened a few days ago. But before we hear from John, joining me over the phone right now is Chris Shaw, who is a grade 12 student at Westwood. So Chris, first off, I appreciate it taking a couple minutes, and a congratulations are in order. You're one of 20 individuals across the country receiving the $70,000 TD Bank Community Leadership Scholarship. Maybe just talk about your initial reaction when you found out that you were chosen for the scholarship.
Yeah, I mean, it was insane. They sent the email out at like almost midnight. So I was just in bed, and then I saw like an email notification. I couldn't even believe it. I thought I got hacked or like scammed or something. I was like, oh, it is what it is. And because of that, like, I went to tell my mom. I didn't even tell my dad, just to be careful in case it was a scam. And then like slowly I started reading through everything that they sent. And then I started believing it. It was insane. I started screaming and told my parents, and they were really happy, and told my grandparents, and they were really happy. It was all just like a really joyful experience.
I feel like every time someone I interview someone when it comes to, you know, an award or a scholarship like this, I always get the same response that I never thought that this was going to happen. Did you have the same feeling? Were you hopeful that it was going to happen? Did you maybe have some doubts?
Well, of course I was hopeful. We had to apply in early November of last year. So of course I was hopeful. But no, I definitely didn't think I would even make the short list for the interviews, let alone be a recipient. So it was overall just like a really big honor to have been selected like that. Mm-hmm.
So going directly from the scholarship's website, it mentions that the individuals who get this are those who support change, nurture progress, and contribute to making the world a better place. And a lot of people may already know your name in town because of a group that you helped co-found, EcoYOLO. I know we've written a few stories about your organization, or I guess the group itself, started by you and three of your friends. Maybe just to start off, or about EcoYOLO, for those who are maybe new to the community or just haven't heard, can you just share a little bit about what the group is?
Yeah, so after the wildfire, we saw like all the trees like were burned down, and we spent a lot of our time, you know, playing in those trees. It's where a lot of our memories were, and we knew that like the community's memories were there as well. So when we came back, we were like, hey, let's engage these kids in replanting some of the trees. So we got a bunch of sponsors, started planning, got help from some really amazing teachers, and eventually, we brought out over 600 students to replant over 4,000 trees, and it was really fun. We had buses out, we had food, everyone was running around. There were some soccer balls, people had shovels, and even more than the trees. And I'm really a believer in environmental sustainability, but even more than the trees, when you see a community come back from such a traumatic experience like that, and you see them laughing, playing together, it's so inspiring. And it's motivating for you to continue to do like things in the community like that.
How old are you again? Are you 18?
I'm 17.
17. The reason I asked that is the answer you just gave does not sound like someone who's 17 years old would be giving me that. That sounds like someone who's in their 40s and has experienced much in life to share that insight.
An old soul.
Have you guys done any other initiatives when it comes to Eco YOLO? I know you guys planted a lot of trees, and it was fun being able to follow you guys out when you were doing it. Have you guys done anything else recently?
Yeah, so after that, we started, you know, like just like hosting talks about environmentalism and trying to teach like youth about how to plant trees and environmentalism like that. But after that, the entire team kind of ended up in high school. So we merged with our school's environmental club called Green Initiative in Westwood. And there we met Mr. Doku, an amazing guy who really loves the environmentalism in general. And he talks about like project-based environmentalism, where we started creating innovations and working on aquaponics projects or sustainable 3D printing, and kind of merged environmentalism with that and held STEM camps to teach kids how to like innovate for the environment for the same reason. So we kind of merged with that and continued on the EcoYOLO legacy through there.
We're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to continue our talk with Chris Shaw, grade 12 student at Westwood, who is one of 20 individuals receiving a prestigious national scholarship.
We'll return a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is Chris Shaw, a grade 12 student at Westwood, who is one of 20 individuals across the country receiving the $70,000 TD Bank Community Leadership Scholarship. So we've been talking about his reaction when he found out, as well as EcoYOLO, which is an environmental group that he co-founded, which played a part in him getting the scholarship. And Chris, I know that you will be going to the University of Waterloo to study software engineering. Maybe just share why this was the path you wanted to take.
Yeah, so I've always been really, really interested in making things. Even like in the shift from like EcoYOLO to project-based innovation in our school, I really started enjoying making things. And like through science fairs as well, I started making things that would help people and the function of how people work. So I realized that I really like helping people. I really like making things. What's the most coherent way to do that? And I looked on Google for a long time, and I found software engineering, which was combine tech and any other aspect of the world that you want and apply it there. And you can create solutions that will literally change the world. So I thought that was the perfect fit for me, and then I applied, and luckily we got in.
Any ideas right now that you want to develop? And I promise I won't steal the idea from you. I'll make sure you can get a patent on it if you want to share any more information.
I wish I had some. There's maybe like a couple ideas I have in mind, but I want to work on something that creates change in a very impactful way. Nothing that's, you know, just a small step above. Something that's almost revolutionary, and that's kind of cliche, I guess, in the tech world specifically. But I do want to create something that's not just a small change up from what we currently have, but something large instead.
I have to ask, and this question is really coming from our morning show on Mix, because we have a new co-host. His name is Sean, and he's only been in the community for just under a month. And he had mentioned to me, is there, and this is his words, is there like something in the water at Westwood? Because it seems like everyone who comes out of Westwood is a super genius. We got you. This is literally after we saw your story. And then we had your fellow grade 12 student, Saptarshi, who got a $100,000 scholarship. So is there like a secret in Westwood where it seems like everyone there is just coming out? I'm just going to be honest. When writing these stories, it's just like, man, I wish I was that smart.
Yeah, I'll tell you the secret right now. I guess there's two. No, I guess there's one. It's the secret is teachers. These teachers are so passionate and put so much time into not only educating like kids, but getting resources for kids who want to go above and beyond. And not only at Westwood, but like from what I've seen, these teachers at Westwood do not stop at anything to make sure that their students have their resources to go above and beyond and experiment and create and break things and repeat over and over and over again until you have something there, and you grow as a person way, way more than you would have in some place where the teachers really didn't care about what you were doing.
There's a good chance maybe one or two of your teachers may be able to hear this interview, and I'm sure they're going to love hearing that coming from yourself. But before I let you go, Chris, we're going to end on a very lighter note, and I'm curious if you and Saptarshi have maybe a little bit of a competition where you're going to keep in touch throughout your lives and see who can invent the most, do the most inventions, maybe innovations, see who can make the world a better place.
Me and Saptarshi are really, really good friends. Like, by the way, congrats to him, I guess. I'll say that. But we're really, really close, and we've always been not really competitive, but we've always really enjoyed, like, each other's company and you know, like, a playful competition and whatever we do. Even today, we were, like, racing to solve Rubik's Cubes to see who could solve it faster. it's friendly competition, but we both go from that, and we've like sat down and talked a lot about what both of us want, and we both are kind of heading in the same direction, and I'm really excited to see what he does, and maybe we can work together in the future for something as well.
For sure. Healthy competition is definitely a good thing, but who was the better Rubik's Cube solver?
I'd say it was a tie.
It was a tie? See,
I'd say it was a tie, yeah.
I don't know if you're being humble because maybe you kicked his butt or the fact that he kicked your butt and you're just trying to be nice and, you know, just want to make it seem a little less embarrassing for you. So I don't know. I'm trying to decipher it right now.
It's a secret forever and ever.
All right. Well, Chris, I know this is an exciting time for you. I know that you're going to represent Fort McMurray super well and down in Waterloo, but hopefully this isn't the last time we have a chance to speak. I've enjoyed our talks in the past about Eco YOLO. I'm happy to see, you know, you're continuing your education. I say that a lot. I'm still quite young, but I never wanted to go to college, and it was the best decision I ended up making. So to see all you and your friends and everyone else wanting to continue their education is definitely a great thing. And congrats again on your scholarship. So best of luck at the University of Waterloo.
Awesome. Thank you so much. That's really encouraging.
Once again, that was Chris Shaw, Grade 12 Westwood student, who is one of 20 individuals across the country receiving the $70,000 TD Bank Community Leadership Scholarship. If you're looking for more information about Chris, all you have to do is head to the Mix News page. We're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but when we come back, we're going to be hearing from John Tupper, who traveled north to get a perfect view of the rare solar eclipse that happened a few days ago.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, before the break, we had a chance to hear from Chris Shaw, grade 12 student at Westwood, who is one of 20 individuals across the country receiving the $70,000 TD Bank Community Leadership Scholarship. Now I'm going to be handing things off to our morning team here at Mix 103.7, Steph Seidel and Sean Kreitz, as they had a chance to chat with John Tupper, who traveled north a few days ago to get a better view of the rare solar eclipse.
Hey, John, let's go all the way back to the start. How was the plane ride out there? And like when you first got there, what was your first thoughts?
The plane ride was really, really bumpy, and we landed on this airstrip, and it's a perfectly good airstrip, but it certainly is not a paved runway. We got out, and then took a boat ride, a little bit of a long boat ride to the lodge, which is, you know, on the western shore, the southwest portion of the lake. The lake is beautiful. It's huge. And then we got settled in. The cabin is really well, or the, not the cabin, but the lodge is really well designed. It's even got wireless internet, full power. It was, you know, not quite a resort, but certainly much more upscale than your typical cabin. Then our challenge became finding a spot to observe the eclipse. I needed a really clear view of the northeast sky. And so we Dan, the guide there, and the owner of the lodge, took us out in a couple boats, and we began scouting out the lake to look for a spot. I thought I found the first spot. I thought it was perfect. But then after my GPS settled down a bit and I got a few more satellites, I realized it was a big hill right in the middle of our view. So we had to go trekking all the way about halfway across the lake, a good 30-minute ride. And then we found this, Dan suggested this kind of peninsula. It's this rocky outcropping of, you know, kind of going out towards the lake quite a bit. A Precambrian shield rock covered with moss and lichen, relatively flat, and it turned out that was the perfect spot. It was almost, to describe it, it was like where you would put a lighthouse if you were going to put a lighthouse on a lake.
And then, so, what was it like to like kind of like? How long did it take to set up all your equipment when you finally found the right spot?
A good hour.
Wow.
I had to do a few things. My first telescope mount is, you know, in excess of 100 pounds with a telescope on it. Then I brought a few backup scopes. Had to take some measurements to align my scope in sort of a rough way and then get set up. And then we had to return, you know, about 12 hours later so I could do some star alignments. And that was when the first challenge came. When we went out there the morning before the eclipse to kind of see where the, to confirm where the sunrise was and to maybe line up to the North Star and a few other things. It was pretty clear that it's always twilight there and quite bright. Like at 1:30 in the morning, you could read a book, no problem.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah. So all I could line up to was the planet Jupiter, and then we hung around to catch the sunrise and make sure it came up where I thought it would be. And it was the next nature challenge got thrown at me, which was there was tremendous amounts of dew. Anything that was metal started getting covered with moisture, which is not ideal for telescopes. So we had that challenge, but we got her done, and I headed back and needed to get some sleep before showtime. But I started checking the weather forecast, Sean, and it was not looking good. All of Alberta was cloudy, and there was this low-pressure system over Manitoba fighting against this high-pressure system over the Northwest Territories, and the cloud was coming up, and I didn't put the odds very good for us. I went to bed that afternoon, not knowing what I'd wake up to on eclipse morning.
Wow. And, I mean, tell us just a tiny bit about the eclipse again. So this, it was the best place to view it completely in the world, right?
Not quite in the world. There is a path of totality where the eclipse would be completely covering the sun. But in Alberta, this was the best place. You wanted to be as far north and as far east as you can. And Andrew Lake happens to be as far east or as far north as you can get in Alberta without crossing a border. It was 1 kilometer on the eastern shore of the lake to the Saskatchewan and 1 kilometer on the northern shore of the lake to the Northwest Territories.
Wow. So when Sean and I woke up the morning of the eclipse, we were pretty sad. It was very, very dark here in Fort McMurray. And then we went on the rooftop patio here at work and it was just clouds everywhere. What was it like for you?
I woke up eclipse morning at 1:30 in the morning, and I was convinced that I was going to see clouds and be really super bummed out. Opened the cabin door, took a few steps out, and I looked up, and I saw out of my eye the star Vega. And I double-taked it. I didn't believe it would be clear skies, but it was. So then I was super excited. Went down to get my gear, get the other crews, because they were doing a little bit of a documentary on my journey. And then we got down to the dock to take the boat ride. And my heart sank. It was to the south and to the west, like that same kind of brick of clouds that you guys had. And I couldn't really see to the north. It didn't look good. But then the other concern was the wind was just ripping, like 50 kilometers an hour plus gusts. And the waves on the lake, the lodge is settled in this little cove, and the waves there were a foot and a half high. But, you know, I didn't come that far to give up. So I know the guys who were with me, Willie and Matt at Shaw, and then Paul Lavoie, who's a landscape photographer, and some of the guys from Wood Buffalo Economic Development, or Fort Murray Wood Buffalo Economic Development Tourism, were hesitant to go out in the water. But we persevere. So we get out of the cove, and then it would go worse. Waves 3 feet high. Crashing. The boat was like this insane. It was being we were being tossed around like a toy boat in a tub with a kid. And we got there, or we pulled into the peninsula. I got my telescopes there, and the waves were smashing against the rock and casting this arc of water high enough that it crested over my telescope, which was on the tip of the peninsula. But on the area of the sky that the sun was going to rise, according to my calculations, there was this hole in the cloud. I had really mixed emotions. If it came up in that hole, if everything was right, I could catch something. But my first order of business was telescope rescue. And the smaller scopes, I had the lighter scopes, they wouldn't have withstood the wind. They would have just been tossed around. So our guide expertly landed the boat onto the rocks. I don't know how he did that, because it was like lose your lunch wavy. I get out, and I didn't know how I was going to do it, but I had to get that telescope up to higher ground. So I went and kind of got under the tripod and hulked up the 120 pounds of telescope and mount onto my back, like Atlas carrying the planet Earth. Yes. Probably didn't lift with my legs.
You feeling it now?
I hurt my back a little bit, but I was too excited. Got it up. My alignment that I had done to kind of track the sun and have everything perfect and everything work automatically for me was just out the window. And then I got it set up. The wind died down a little bit. Eclipses have this way of almost creating their own little weather, because you're putting this big giant shadow over the planet Earth, right?
Yeah.
And I just stared at the horizon and sunrise. And Steph, Sean, it did exactly what I thought it would be. About 15 or 20 minutes before the break of dawn, even though it was kind of dawn light, twilight, the sky dimmed a little bit. And instead of getting brighter, things turned that super golden hour. Colors I can't even describe, but I will try. Pinks and purples just blazed across the sky. There was this little bit of lower cloud that turned Saskatoonberry purple, but like glow in the dark. They can't even make neon signs this color.
Oh, that's cool.
And none of the cameras were fully able to capture the colors, but it was like somebody splattered Saskatoonberry jam and acrylic pink paint all over the sky, and I was mesmerized. It was incredible, and we were all just talking. The forest behind us turned, you know, it's bright green forest, but it turned like almost like somebody sprinkled it with gold glitter. And then I had to kind of shake my head and focus back on my telescope to capture the eclipse.
Oh, yeah. Do the thing that you originally came to do.
Yes, exactly. I got it lined up. The sun rose exactly, or started to rise exactly where I said it would be. I lined up, and it was just gorgeous. Huge crescent of sun came up, because it was already in a state of eclipse. The sun was bright still, because you can block out a lot of the sun and it's still pretty bright. And it was shaped like the letter C. It was almost like the Cookie Monster took a big chunk out of the sun.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
And it rose up. The eclipse deepened. The wind was howling. I was wearing a microphone, and I had a windsock thingy over the microphone, and if you'll listen to my video, it still sounds like I'm that crazy reporter that's forced to report the hurricane right from the shore. Yeah. I was that guy. And and we captured the video, we captured stills. It was just an incredible experience to see the sun, you know, rising in a state of eclipse where it's this golden red crescent with the sky ablaze and the trees of the forest silhouetted in the background. It was a photographer's dream, and in fact, Paul Lavoie, who is doing some work with Travel Alberta, commented that this was, to him, an experience of a lifetime. And this is a guy that's taken thousands of gorgeous pictures and been published all over the place.
Once again, that was Sean Kreitz and Steph Seidel on our morning team here at Mix 103.7, speaking of John Tupper, who traveled up north to get a better view of the rare solar eclipse that happened a few days ago. Now that's all the time we have for today on Fort McMurray Matters, but make sure to tune into Mix 103.7 every weekday at noon to hear the interviews that matter to you and your community. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and this has been Fort McMurray Matters.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode? Download the podcast at mix1037fm.com.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.